A stadium is a place to stage outdoor games or sports, and consists of a playing field surrounded by tiers of seats for spectators. But these days, in professional sports, a stadium is much more. It can be a mark of distinction, a source of civic pride, a fountain of revenue flow, and a source of public debate. Recently, Dr. America has been pondering the terms of these debates. Stadium proponents often begin with an argument of pride. No self-respecting city, they suggest, should be without a professional sports franchise. And the logic goes, the more franchises, the more urban and cosmopolitan a city becomes. City pride will suffer, proponents say, if the residents are not allowed to pay for a huge structure to perform the rites of the seasons. Sports seasons, of course. A related suggestion is that a stadium, and by extension a sports franchise, is a source of public unity. Most of the time, proponents suggest, we may be black and white, rich and poor, urban and suburban, male and female. But on game day, we are Twins fans or Vikings fans, and all the barriers of race and class and privilege melt away. Because this argument emphasizes the we-ness of sports fandom, Dr. America calls its proponents weenies. The weenies also offer all sorts of statistics about the economic benefits of a new stadium or two. But really, a stadium is a very expensive proposition, because most of the time, nothing happens there. It's an architecture of emptiness. A baseball game lasts about 3 hours, and the Twins play 81 games at home, for a total of 243 hours. A football game also lasts about 3 hours, although playing time is just an hour, and the Vikings play 2 exhibitions, 8 home games, and at most a couple of playoff games, about 40 hours a year. So if each new stadium costs $300 or $400 million, Minnesota citizens could spend an awful lot of money for very little activity. Indeed, measured by hourly costs, it would be hard to think of a building that gets less use per dollar. A school, on the other hand, is a constant hub of activity and produces something obviously connected to the public good. The weenies believe that even though sports teams are privately owned and operated, professional sports stadiums are a matter of public policy and public subsidy. They seem to think that we the people is pretty much the same as we the sports fans, and that the state constitution promises to support not just the general welfare, but the specific welfare of sports zillionaires. It's a peculiar proposition. These zillionaires own sports teams and seem to think that the government should pay for a place for the teams to play. It's as if Microsoft asked the public to pay for computers to play its software, or the TV networks ask the taxpayers to pay for TVs to show their programming. It's as if Coke and Pepsi asked the public to pay for bottles, or McDonald's wanted a public subsidy for its parking lots. It's just one more example of how proponents of so-called private enterprise don't necessarily believe in it. The weenie's slogan seems to be, we need, as in, we need a new stadium for more revenue. In today's professional sports, the aim is the bottom line, not the goal line. Sports owners want public funds for building new structures with revenue-generating luxury boxes and with naming rights sold to the highest bidder. This seems perfectly appropriate for the world of competitive capitalism. But Dr. America suggests that if public money pays for a stadium, we should also install poverty boxes and special subsidized seating sections for middle-class people who can't afford skyrocketing ticket prices. Or the government should get half the tickets to be distributed by lottery to the citizens of Minnesota. And if the public pays for the stadium, of course, it should also get naming rights for the stadium. We could call it, for example, the Boondoggle Bowl. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, a fan of the game, but no fan of the games that sports owners play with the public.